From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. State health officials reported 44 new COVID-19 cases from Wednesday. That's the highest one-day increase in the state yet. It includes 25 Alaskans and 19 non-residents, and it's the fourth time in the past month that the state had a new daily high. The new non-resident cases include 17 seafood industry workers. That includes 9 in the Bristol Bay and Lake and Peninsula boroughs, 2 in Wrangell, and 1 case each in Anchorage and Seward. There was also a non-resident visitor in Anchorage and a non-resident in Valdez whose purpose for visiting was listed as other. The Alaskans include six each from Anchorage and Fairbanks, 3 from Homer, 2 each from Eagle River and North Pole, and 1 each from Bethel, Palmer, Seward, Valdez, Wasilla, and an unnamed community in the northern Kenai Peninsula borough. Many of the new Alaskan cases over the past week have been from the Fairbanks North Star borough after the borough had a quiet period that lasted from early April until mid-June. The number of active cases among Alaskans also reached a new high of 291. That's 25 more than any previous day. The total number of cases among Alaskans is 816. There are no new deaths. And the market in Petersburg has moved online. The summertime event formerly connected local growers, vendors, artists, and buyers bimonthly at the John Hansen Senior Community Hall on First Street. Due to coronavirus concerns, it is opening up again online with free delivery available, Corin Smith reports.
The market in Petersburg offers locally made products such as baked goods, natural body products, and jewelry. This year's virtual market is intended to prevent any risk of spreading the coronavirus in person, says Shannon McCullough, the market manager.
We really wouldn't want to put any customers or vendors or any community members at risk. And we just thought the most responsible thing to do would be to just move to an online platform and find other ways to support the community.
This summer, the market is available online at saltandsoilmarketplace.com. The online platform is provided by the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition, and vendors showcased there are based in Petersburg, Sitka, Haines, and Juneau. Local shoppers should make sure to select Petersburg as their market location for either pickup or delivery in town. Mailing options are not available at this time. Shopping will be open the last week of each month from now until October, McCullough explains.
So it's like a week-long process. It opens Saturday at noon for ordering and closes the following Thursday at noon. And then the vendors get the list of what's been sold, and they put it all together and bring it to the distribution site on Friday evening. And then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the market board and volunteers and market managers, we divvy it all up and distribute it. There's pickup option or delivery. We're offering free delivery. We just really want people to shop local and continue to support these beautiful local businesses and creators.
The market's goal is to support the local economy and provide vendors a place to connect with buyers in the community. Moving online is not easy for microbusinesses, but McCullough says the platform has been supportive and has provided the virtual space free of charge, which has been helpful for vendors to make the transition online. But they're still looking for more vendors to participate this summer.
It's new, and so I think with like anything new, there's a learning curve. And so I think each market of the summer, people learn more about it and realize how easy it is and what great products are available, and I think it will pick up.
McCullough says the market community has always had to be adaptive to the tides, weather conditions, schedules, and all kinds of challenges, and so are adjusting to pandemic conditions.
Everyone's just working really hard and being really positive, and it's, it's kind of surprising. I mean, it's like even in a pandemic, people are just very adaptable, and it's very positive to see.
The next open window for shopping at the market online is Saturday, July 18th till Thursday, July 23rd. Updates will be on the Market in Petersburg Facebook page, or for more information or to make an order by phone, call Shannon McCullough at 518-0757. In Petersburg, I'm Corinne Smith.
The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority Board voted to put $500,000 into the controversial Ambler Road project on Wednesday. The state agency is in charge of making investments and providing loans to various business interests across the state. Wesley Early from Alaska's Energy Desk has more on what the public has to say about the funding.
The Ambler Mining District Industrial Access Project, commonly known as the Ambler Road Project, has been a lightning rod for controversy for years, pitting the desire to expand business and mining interests in the state against the concerns over impacts to the environment and subsistence. The road would lead to the Ambler Mining District, northeast of Kotzebue, which has deposits of copper and other metals that companies want to be able to truck across the state. Board members heard public testimony over the phone from people all across the state. Supporter Michael Jesperson of Anchorage says that Alaska is too dependent on oil and needs to develop other industries like mining.
We need to look to the future, not just now. My kids need jobs when they graduate college. I would like the economy to improve and the value of my house to go up. None of that's going to happen in a bad economy.
However, to get to the site, the road would start near the Dalton Highway and cross gates of the Arctic National Park. Environmentalists have expressed strong opposition to building a road through a national park. The Army Corps of Engineers completed its final environmental impact statement at the end of March. It says that the road could affect air and water quality, wildlife migration, and erosion. Residents like John Horner of Kobuk are fearful that building the road could affect access to caribou and other sources of subsistence hunting.
This is going to affect my kids and their kids' future as well. We cannot eat money, you know? And one word comes to my mind when this Ambler Road comes to my mind is genocide. You guys are going to slowly kill off our culture, our way of life, to which defines who we are as indigenous people.
As ADA has weighed financially supporting the Ambler Road, a new factor has come into play in the last several months, the COVID-19 pandemic. As businesses across the state struggle to stay afloat due to the pandemic, the ADA board has received criticism from the public over who they're giving funds to. The first meeting the board held during the pandemic was in March and saw overwhelming opposition to giving funds to the Ambler Road. During that meeting, the board approved putting $35 million into the Arctic Infrastructure Fund while simultaneously designating the Ambler Road as an Arctic project. While testimony was much more even this time around, just over half of the testimony was in opposition to the Ambler Road. Here's Palmer resident Lauren Caro.
I implore you, do not go ahead with this expenditure for the benefit of overseas headquarter mega corporations. Put the funds into helping Alaskans survive these extraordinary times.
The company that's been developing a prospect in the Ambler Mining District is Ambler Metals LLC, a Fairbanks-based subsidiary of Trilogy Metals, based in British Columbia. While many village governments have come out in opposition to the road, regional borough governments have taken a more measured approach. In testimony on behalf of the Northwest Arctic Borough, Sikorik Martha Whiting says that the borough supports ADA putting the money towards the project today, but emphasized the importance of reaching out to villagers.
We request that you continue building relationships with stakeholders within the Northwest Arctic Borough, especially the communities of Ambler, Shungnak, and Kobuk, as this project is in their homeland and in our backyard.
The up to $500,000 approved for the road by ADA this week will be matched by Ambler Metals LLC. It is to go towards aerial photography of the proposed route, public outreach, and hiring an external program manager. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
More than 18 million acres of a petroleum reserve in Alaska will be opened to oil and gas drilling under a plan released today by federal officials who touted it as being key to President Donald Trump's goal of increasing energy production. The Department of Interior released the environmental review for the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska, which covers an area the size of Indiana. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the 23 million acre site on the western North Slope contains about 8.7 billion barrels of oil. Environmentalists decry opening up the reserve, worried about what drilling could do to polar bears and a large caribou herd. And military officials say two Russian aircraft were intercepted after they came within 50 miles of Unimak Island along Alaska's Aleutian chain. The commander of the North American Aerospace Defense Command says Wednesday's incident marked the fifth time this month that such an intercept has taken place. NORAD says the Russian aircraft did not enter U.S. or Canadian airspace during the roughly four-hour flight in the region. Russian jets flying near Alaska or Canada are fairly routine. Since Russia resumed long-range aviation activities in 2007, there have been an average of around seven intercepts a year. This is KTOO News.